Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a Dubwise, chopped vinyl texture inside Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Make something that feels worn, rhythmic, and full of character, without turning your track into muddy lo-fi wallpaper. This is the kind of layer that sits in the mid-range and upper mids, right above the break and the sub, and it does a very specific job. It adds movement. It adds history. It adds that old record energy that makes jungle and old-school D&B feel alive. But the important part is this. It has to support the groove, not smother it. Why this works in D&B is because the genre is built on sample culture, swing, and negative space. The best chop texture feels like it's part of the arrangement, not something pasted on top. When it's done right, it breathes with the drums and bass. When it's done badly, it just gets in the way. Start with a source that already has attitude. Don't overthink it. A vocal phrase, a dusty stab, a little break fragment, a bit of vinyl ambience, anything with some mid-range personality will work. If the sample already has some crackle or room tone, that's great, as long as it doesn't start fighting the snare or cluttering the low mids. Drag it into Ableton and listen for the useful part. You're not building a clean sample pack here. You're building a foreground texture. So choose something that feels like a slice of history. Something with a bit of weight and character. Now cut it into playable fragments. You can use sliced a new MIDI track if you want a quick performance style approach, or you can just chop it directly in arrangement view. Keep the slices small and manageable. Think 1/8, 1/16, or tiny transient fragments. You do not need 30 chops. 4 to 8 good ones is usually more than enough. What to listen for here is attitude. One slice might be noisy. Another might be more tonal. Another might be more percussive. That variation is what gives the pattern life. If everything sounds the same, the texture will flatten out fast. Once the slices are in place, build a groove that leaves space for the drums. This is a big one. Don't let the texture land on every strong accent. In jungle, the smartest move is usually to answer the snare instead of doubling it. Let the break stay in charge, and let the chopped vinyl speak around it. A really effective starting point is a two-bar phrase. You might place one chop before the snare is a pickup, one chop after the snare is a response, then leave a hole somewhere in the middle to keep the pocket open. In the second bar, change one thing so it doesn't loop too obviously. Maybe one slice lands later. Maybe one hit drops out. Maybe one fragment is slightly longer. Tiny changes go a long way. You've basically got two directions here. You can go tight and chopped, almost percussive, which is great for darker rollers and more controlled arrangements. Or you can go looser and more smeared, which is brilliant for intros, breakdowns, and more dubby jungle atmospheres. If the bass line is already busy, keep the texture tighter. If the track feels too clean or clinical, loosen it up a little. Now let's shape the sound with a simple stock device chain. A really solid starting point is EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter, then utility. Use EQ8 first to get the sample out of the way of the drums. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on the source. If there's a boxy buildup around 250 to 500, carve a little of that out. And if the chop gets spitty or harsh, tame the upper mids a bit, maybe around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Then bring in saturator. You're not trying to destroy it. You're trying to make it feel printed, denser, more record-like. Start with a small amount of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. And listen for thickness rather than obvious distortion. What to listen for is this. Does it feel more like a real textured sample now, or does it just get flatter and harsher? If the transient disappears completely, back off. You want the chop to stay readable. After that, use auto filter to give it a dubwise finish. A low pass around 6 to 12 kHz can make it feel darker and more integrated. If you want it narrower and more sampled, a band pass can work really well too. Then use utility to keep the core centered if needed. That mono-safe center is important. Let the width come later, if at all, through effects or very controlled stereo movement. Now comes the real heart of the lesson. Automation-first movement. Instead of stacking loads of devices and hoping the texture magically evolves, automate a few key controls so it feels alive over the phrase. Filter cutoff is the obvious one. Saturator drive can also move slightly. Track volume sample transpose. Clip gain and send amounts to delay or reverb are all fair game too. The important thing is to keep the motion modest. Think performance, not giant EDM sweep. A small filter opening over 4 or 8 bars can feel incredibly musical in this style. Raise the delay sent on one or two chops. Pull the volume down at the end of a phrase. Close the filter slightly before the next section lands. That's the kind of movement that feels dubwise. Why this works in DNB is because the drums and bass need consistency. The texture is there to create change without breaking the identity of the groove. It should feel like the track is breathing, not like it's changing personality every bar. If you want space, add a return with delay or echo and maybe a reverb too. Keep the values controlled. Short delay times, filtered returns, modest feedback. Use the throw sparingly. Don't drown the whole loop in echo unless you're deliberately making a breakdown. The best move is often to send only certain fragments into the space. One chop before a section change. One vocal cut. One stab that needs to answer back. That gives the effect meaning. If everything gets drenched, the groove turns to mush. What to listen for is whether the space feels like it's coming out of the sample or sitting on top of it. If the delay starts cluttering the rhythm, shorten it or reduce the send. If the reverb starts washing over the snare, high pass the return more aggressively. At this point, put the full drums and sub in and check the texture in context. This is where the idea either earns its place or gets cut. Ask yourself, does it steal the snare's snap? Does it mask the ghost notes? Does it fight the bass line? Does it add pressure or just add noise? If the sub is strong and the break is busy, pull more low mids out and keep the texture above the body of the snare. If the bass line is sparse, you can let the texture do a little more call and response, but always make the decision in context. Solo is useful for finding the source. The mix is where you decide whether it belongs. If you need a grittier option, there is another valid chain: auto filter, then drum bus, then EQ8. That's more aggressive, more crushed, more printed. Great when you want the layer to feel rougher and more sampled. But if the track wants smoke rather than bite, the EQ8, saturator, auto filter path is usually the cleaner choice. A good arrangement trick is to treat this layer like a phrase marker. In a 16-bar section, keep it sparse and filtered at first. Then let it become a little more active in the middle. Thin it out again before a fill. Bring back a recognizable motif near the end so the transition feels natural. You can even make it answer the snare on bars 3, 7, 11, and 15, then pull it back just before the next section hits. That little gap can make the re-entry feel massive. And here's a really useful reminder: if the texture sounds interesting only because it's too loud, it's probably not actually doing the right job. Try turning it down by a couple of dB. If the groove feels bigger, that means the part was occupying the right space. It just needed to be less exposed. If you're working darker and heavier, use filtering as menace. A slow, small opening in the filter can create pressure without giving away the whole source. Let one slice stay a bit ugly if it helps the layer feel underground. And if a delay throw sounds good but too long, print it and edit the tail as auto. That gives you much more control over the phrasing. Also, don't be afraid to simplify. If the chops keep fighting the snare, move the timing before you reach for more EQ. In DNB, timing fixes often beat tone fixes. That's a real one. Once the pattern is working, print it to audio. That stops you from endlessly tweaking the same loop and lets you make real arrangement moves. After printing, you can nudge a chop a few milliseconds late for swing, shorten a tail so it doesn't hit the snare, or mute one fragment to create a pocket of silence. Those tiny edits are often what make the part feel finished. If you want a stronger arrangement identity, duplicate the track and keep one version as your safe anchor, then make the second version more extreme. One can be dry and tight. One can be filtered and dubby. One can be heavily thrown for transitions. That gives you options without rebuilding the part every time the arrangement changes. So to recap, choose a source with character, slice it into a few useful fragments, place the chops around the drums instead of on top of them, shape it with EQ and subtle saturation, automate filter and send so it breathes, and keep the center clean so the break and sub can still hit hard. The goal is a texture that feels worn, chopped, and intentional, like a real musical element in the tune. Now try the quick exercise. Build one 8-bar chopped vinyl texture with one source sample, no more than 4 slices, one main automation move, and one delay or reverb throw. Keep it high-passed and monosafe in the core. Then drop it into the full drums and bass. And when you listen back, ask one simple question. Does the groove feel better with it, or just busier? If it feels better, you've built something useful. If it feels busy but weaker, simplify it and go again. That's the vibe. Controlled movement, clear phrasing, and a texture that supports the tune instead of swallowing it. Build it with intent, and it'll sound like part of the record, not an effect pasted over the top.